नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम द सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 47। अहम् एवासमेवाग्रे नान्यत्किञ्चात्तरं बहि नान्यत्किञ्चान्तरं बहि संज्ञान मात्रमव्यक्तम् प्रसुप्तम् एव विश्वतः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific spiritual potencies. Consciousness was then unmanifested, just as one's consciousness is unmanifest during the time of sleep. Purport: the word aham indicates a person. As explained in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam, Chetanas Chetananam, the Lord is the Supreme Eternal among innumerable Eternals, and the Supreme Living Being among the innumerable living beings. The Lord is a person who has impersonal features, as stated in the Bhagavatam, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvajnanam Avyayam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Consideration of the Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman arose after the creation. Before the creation, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed. As firmly declared in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. The ultimate cause, the supreme cause of all creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation, since all such processes came into existence after the material creation. The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord says, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. Before the creation, the Lord existed as a person, as indicated here by the word Aham. When Prajapati Daksha saw him as a person who was beautifully dressed and ornamented, he actually experienced the meaning of this word Aham through devotional service. Each person is eternal. Because the Lord says that he existed as a person before the creation, agre, and will also exist after the annihilation, the Lord is a person eternally. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore quotes these verses from the Bhagavatam. Na chantar na bahiryasya na purvam na pichaparam purvaparam bahishchantar jagato yaccha gachayaha tammatvatmajammavyaktam martyalingam madokshajam gopilo gopikolu khaledamna babandha prakritam yatha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in Vrindavan as the son of Mother Yashoda, who bound the Lord with rope, just as an ordinary mother binds a child. There are actually no divisions of external and internal for the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sachidananda Vigraha. But when he appears in his own form, the unintelligent think of him as an ordinary person. Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashritam. Therefore, he comes in his own body, which never changes. Mudhas, the unintelligent, think that the impersonal Brahman has assumed a body to come in the form of a person. Ordinary living being assumes material bodies, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Consciousness, it is stated herein that Samnyata Matram, the original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, was unmanifested before the creation. Although the consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of everything. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time that when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Thus the Lord's person is the absolute truth in the past, present and future. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes two verses from the Matsya Purana. After the annihilation of everything, the Supreme Lord, because of his Sachidananda Vigraha, remains in his original form. But since the other living entities have material bodies, the matter merges into matter, and the subtle form of the spirit soul remains within the body of the Lord. The Lord does not sleep, but the ordinary living entity remains asleep until the next creation. An intelligent, unintelligent person thinks that the opulence of the Supreme Lord is non-existent after the annihilation, but that is not a fact. The opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains as it is in the spiritual world. Only in the material world is everything dissolved. Brahmalina, merging into the Supreme Brahman, is not actual lina or annihilation. For the subtle form of the remaining in the Brahman effulgence will return to the material world after the material creation and assume a material form. This is described as bhutva bhutva praliyate. When the material body is annihilated, the spirit soul remains in a subtle form which later assumes another body. This is true for the conditioned souls, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains eternally in his original consciousness and spiritual body. Hare Krishna. In this verse, we find that Daksha Prajapati has an experience of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a more deeper understanding and explanation of that form is given in this verse and purport. Srila Prabhupada stresses on the word aham, evasam. And he explains in the purport that when Krishna says aham, I personally, then he's pointing towards his transcendental spiritual form. And that form exists before the creation of this material world. In fact, that form is the cause of the creation of this material world. And ultimately, when everything is destroyed, all the material worlds are destroyed, that form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his eternal pastimes, remains forever. Therefore, the other day when Gurijan Prabhu was giving his classes on the teachings of Queen Kunti, he explained so nicely that the translation for the word God in Sanskrit or Bengali or other languages is Ishwara. Ishwara means the controller. However, that is not the complete understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, it limits the personality of Godhead. Because if God is simply the controller of this material universe, the Ishwara, then his existence depends upon the existence of this world. If there is no world, then what he will control? So if he is simply a controller of this material world, then if the world is finished, then what will he do? So that is not the only understanding and the definition of God. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains in the first shloka of the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to give a higher conception of the Supreme Lord rather than simply being the controller. That the Lord has his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, which are independent of and transcendental to the material world. And he's eternally enjoying over there. And that is his complete and original understanding. So those who try to understand the Lord with a materialistic conception, simply based on their experiences of the material world, they will become bewildered in trying to understand the Lord. And therefore, Burijan Prabhu was giving the example of Brahmaji. When Brahmaji also went to Vrindavan and saw that Krishna, who was supposed to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he had performed such superhuman, such transcendental feats, like killing Putana, killing Agasur, Bakasur, that Brahma wanted to actually go and test whether he is the Supreme Lord. So when Brahma saw that he's just a small little boy, doesn't even have any shoes on his feet, he's running around in the forest of Vrindavan, has a lump of butter in his left hand, some peacock feather and some forest flowers as his decoration, Brahma said, this can't be God. Because Brahmaji, in his planet of Satyaloka, Shubhriyat Bhagavatamrita explains, worships the Lord in the form of Mahapurusha, who has 1,000 heads. And Mahapurusha comes and personally accepts offerings from so many yajñas which are constantly going on in Brahmaloka. So what a gigantic, huge manifestation of the Lord. And here is Krishna, just running behind his cows if they get lost. In fact, Kuvintribo was telling us a story that one time Krishna and all his cowherd boyfriends, they were very eager to steal some butter. So they plotted and they planned that this particular gopi seems to be having very nice butter in her house. So next morning, they all went and they climbed one upon the other. And the one of the gopas, he climbed on top of the door. And Krishna was encouraging, jump in, you know, from outside. And everybody needs encouragement. So he was the encouraging, you know, Lord. So he jumped in from top and he opened the door from inside and all the gopas ran inside. Interestingly, that gopi, she was just standing at the other corner of the wall and she saw all the gopas coming in. She didn't take any action because she was waiting to catch the supreme gopa, Krishna. And when Krishna came in, then she said, okay, now I'm going to catch him red-handed today. And Krishna came inside and he went straight into the room where the butter was kept. And Krishna put his hand in the butter pot. And just when Krishna put his hand in the butter pot, was about to start eating, that she caught him from behind. And she said, Krishna, what are you doing? He said, What am I doing? I've just come to search for my calf. That's what I'm doing. She said, calf? So early in the morning? And that too, with your hand in this pot of butter? He said, no, I'm not the only person searching for the calf. You see, all my friends are searching. We are all in tremendous anxiety. And we have searched all over Vrindavan. And there is not a single place in Vrindavan. And now we have searched all over your house. And this is the pot, which is the only place where we have not searched. So I was just putting my hand inside to see in case if the calf is there. No, there is no logic in this, you know. You can't expect a calf to be in a pot, you know. However big the pot is, it's a big pot, you know. But just this simple experience of Krishna giving explanation for why his hand was in the water pot charmed the heart of the gopi and she gave him all the butter. So Brahmaji, when he's observing such pastimes, he's amazed. How can this person be God? And therefore Brahmaji then tries to test Krishna by exhibiting his own powers of mysticism, by capturing all the cowherd boys, capturing all the calves. And then Krishna gives him a taste of his own mysticism. And for one entire year, he creates all the cowherd boys and the calves. And when Brahmaji comes, he's bewildered. Are they real? Or are the ones that I have put inside the cave, they real? And when Brahmaji becomes completely confused with all his foreheads reeling, then Krishna exhibits that all these cows and cowherd boys are just a spark of his splendor and a few of his expansions, some millions of Vishnu forms. And then Brahma surrenders and understands, oh, this is Govindam, Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the material world, whose potencies, powers, pastimes do not depend upon this material world and have nothing to do with the material world. Therefore, we find that Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada quotes, he smashes this Sankhya philosophy, which tries to explain that everything comes from matter. If it is proved that everything comes from matter, then there is no need for the existence of the Supreme Lord, and there are no pastimes of the Supreme Lord beyond this material manifestation, beyond the material world. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, one by one, takes the examples that the atheistic Sankhya philosophers headed by Kapila, when they give, and he proves the existence of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, who is the cause of the creation of this material world. The atheist Kapila explains that all the experiences in the world have their sources in the three modes of material nature. People experience happiness in this world, they experience distress in the world, and they experience illusion in this world. So those who are controlled by the mode of goodness, that mode of goodness is the source of happiness. Mode of passion is the source of distress, and the mode of ignorance is the source of madness or illusion. So everything is happening because of the three modes. He gives the example of a man and a beautiful woman. If there is an extremely beautiful woman and the man is married to her, then she is definitely the source of his happiness for some time, whatever. So that is a mode of goodness. He says the mode of goodness is the source of happiness. And he explains that if that same lady gives him up and goes away, or she becomes angry with him, then that is a cause of his frustration and misery. So the mode of passion is the cause of his misery, the anger. And actually, if she's angry with him, then they explain that he becomes frustrated. And if she leaves him and goes away, or if she ignores him, then he's an illusion. He goes mad, he's bewildered, goes crazy. So that is how the mode of ignorance controls a living entity. So all the experiences that we have in the world are because of the modes of material nature. So why is there need of the presence of the soul? And why is there need of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They don't need. Their existence has no meaning, according to these atheistic philosophers. In fact, Kapila gives three more examples to explain how matter is the cause of everything. No need for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be present. First, he explains that all the experiences are because of the three modes. And then he gives three more examples to explain how matter is the cause of everything. First, he says that if you see a clay pot, what is the cause of a clay pot? The cause of the clay pot is clay. So we see the cause is also clay, and the effect or the result is also clay. So similarly, we see in this world, the cause is matter and the creation is also matter. So why is there need of the Supreme Lord? The second example he gives is of a tree. He says tree is matter, but we see that the tree produces fruits, flowers. So many things are being produced from the tree. So matter can produce, reproduce. Why is there need of the Supreme Lord? And the third example he gives is of water. He says water flows. So water has a tendency to flow. Matter has a tendency to move. So why is there need of the soul? Why is there need of the Lord? Matter in and of itself can create, like a clay pot is created from clay. Matter has got intuition, it can grow, like the tree grows, produces flowers, fruits, it can produce so many things. And matter has the tendency to move, to flow by itself like water flows. So matter is everything. Why is the need of a soul? The need of the Lord. In fact, today's materialistic scientists, when they start searching, they also come to similar conclusions. They say that when you eat a chocolate, then you feel happy. That's the general understanding. You know, in advertisements also they show. Somebody, some child who's crying very much, and then put one lollipop in the mouth, and has a smile on the face, you know. Or something like that, you know, some gift for someone you love, you know, and then that lady is very upset with you. You give one chocolate, in 5 rupees, you know. Everything becomes upside down, it's changed. Anyway, the idea is people think that this chocolate makes you happy because there are certain chemicals in it. And that is a fact actually. They say even in coffee, in tea, there is caffeine, tannin, which is some intoxicants which titillate the brain cells. And those chemicals, they produce happiness inside a person. So give some chemicals, eat some chocolates, drink some tea, coffee, and you will get a kick, some pleasure, you know, some joy. And that is the source of all joy, all happiness. Of course, this happiness is like Srila Prabhupada was one time explaining, he was on a morning walk. And in the presence, the power of a pure devotee is so wonderful that it attracts. So one fisherman who was fishing had got caught so many fishes, he came and gave one big fish to Prabhupada. He said, I should give the best to this person, to this devotee. So Srila Prabhupada was looking at him, that he has come to offer something, and all the disciples are watching, that he's come with a sincere desire. What is Srila Prabhupada going to do? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you enjoy, you enjoy. So this fisherman, he felt this is like kind of a prasad, you know, I mean, accepting the, I mean blessed basically. You enjoy, you enjoy. And all the devotees are wondering, what is this Srila Prabhupada is saying? You enjoy, you enjoy. And then Srila Prabhupada walked a little ahead and said, then you suffer. So this kind of material enjoyment that the scientists or the materialists talk about, which comes from chemicals, yes, there is an experience of pleasure. Who says no? There is an experience of enjoyment. But that enjoyment is so little and so insignificant. It's just a matter of a few steps that a great devotee takes. Then he looks behind and says, then you suffer. Because it's going to finish. It's very little, insignificant. It's just, in fact, His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Swami was explaining in one class, very interesting. He said that, where does enjoyment come from? Where does pleasure come from? Pleasure and enjoyment comes from a mystique. Something mysterious. Something that you don't know. So Maya or matter, it produces a mystique, an experience that I don't know. Maybe there's something wonderful over there. The example given is that this material world is just like different shades of color. So many color bottles, you know, this camelin something, school when we were, you know, we had these bottles. So many varieties of shades of color were there. And then an expert artist comes and takes all the color and makes different paintings. Now the color creates no emotions. It doesn't evoke any joy. Oh, beautiful. Blue color. So attractive. The color in and of itself has no attraction or capacity to evoke emotions and affection. But when there is a painting made, then that painting has the capacity to evoke emotions. If there is a... there was one time a competition or something that a king had created that somebody should draw the painting of intense suffering and the painter will get the best prize. So many people drew a mother whose child was suffering and the mother was feeling so much pain. But then one fellow drew the child being killed and the mother having her eyes closed. And the king said, this is the best painting. Because it evokes such emotions in the heart that the mother cannot see the child going through this experience. So art has a capacity to evoke pain, emotions. Similarly, what Maya does, she is like the painter. And all the ingredients of this material world are dead matter. But she creates a painting. And all these creations that are created, the living entity comes and sees. Wow. And becomes attracted. Starts becoming involved in all those manifestations, paintings that Maya has created. And becomes absorbed in the emotions of this material world. So I was talking about how the scientists, they say that it is the chemicals which are the cause of the happiness or the distress. No, I'm sorry. I was talking about the mystique. I just lost track. So Maya creates this mystique in this material world. However, he was explaining, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, that as soon as we try to enjoy anything in this world, the mystique is over. What is that mystique? That I don't know it. But as soon as you know it, finished. The pleasure is gone. That means it's not that you enjoy and then you suffer. As soon as you start contacting that enjoyment, the suffering begins because that mystique is over. Just like newspapers. It comes fresh in the morning, the fresh paper, the printing is fresh, the news is fresh. As soon as you read it, finished. It is stale. You've read it, it is stale. You can't read it again. And if you read it again, you feel that, oh, I already know this. It's just because you have nothing else to do, you read the same paper. Or sometimes people get 2-3 papers. Same news they will read in 2-3 papers, you know. Chewing the chewed, as the Bhagavatam explains. So the idea is that Maya creates mystique. And it creates an attraction in the heart of the living entity. Creates emotions, evokes ideas of enjoyment. But as soon as we contact that mystique, it's finished. And all the pleasure is gone. However, Krishna also attracts the living entity in the same way in the spiritual world. He also creates such mystical pastimes, such attractive pastimes, that they bewilder the mind of the living entity. And in fact, the living entities, they stop thinking in the spiritual world or analyzing in the spiritual world how Krishna creates these pastimes. They just accept. Because Krishna is doing it, therefore he is wonderful. And we love him. And therefore they just accept whatever happens. Like the Gopas, when Krishna broke the twin Arjuna trees with the help of that Ukkal, he just pulled it and both the trees fell. And all the Gopas were telling the gopis and the elderly cowherd men that we saw Krishna doing this. He just touched these two trees, tugged a little, and both these huge Arjuna trees fell. None of them could believe. Krishna, he can't do that. Because he's just a child. So Krishna also does so many mystical pastimes in the spiritual world. But that mystical pastimes unlimitedly keep on happening. And thus the living entity unlimitedly experiences pleasure in the spiritual world. Unlike this kind of little bit of titillation that comes from chemicals within one's brain. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he defeats all these three arguments that the atheistic scientists or the atheistic philosophers give and proves the presence of the soul or the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first example is of clay. He says the cause is clay and the effect is clay. But Baldev Vidya Bhushan gives two arguments against it. He says first, this pot experiences no pleasure or pain. The pleasure of pain is not experienced by the body. It is some experience within. So we can't say that this whole material world is simply this pot. Because what about the pain and pleasure? That is experienced within by someone. It points to something more within the body. And the second argument he gives is that there has to be somebody who has to shape that clay into this clay pot. Otherwise, how can the clay pot be created? So there is a supreme intelligence who is shaping and creating this material world. Then the second example they gave was of the tree. That the tree has an intention to grow, an intuition. And therefore it just grows. In the forest we see so many trees growing. But the fact is, Vallabhidya Bhushan gives the example of a vehicle and the driver, or a car and the driver. The car has got a tendency to go left or go right. It has an intuition or a tendency. However, it cannot go left or right on its own. It is a driver inside the car who decides to make the car go left or right. So the body of the tree has the capacity to grow, has the capacity to give fruits and flowers, but it is the soul within that tree whose presence makes the body grow and give fruits and flowers. Just like the driver within the body makes the car go left or right, although the car automatically has got some tendency to go left or go right. So there has to be a living entity, the spirit soul, within that tree, without which it cannot exhibit its tendency. And the third example he gives is of water. Water naturally has a tendency to move. Srila Vallabhidya Bhushan explains in this regard that some unintelligent or less intelligent people, when they see that scorpions are produced from rice, they think that the rice have given birth to the scorpions. However, the fact is that actually previously some scorpions came, laid their eggs in the rice, and thus the scorpions were created because of the environment that was suitable in that heap of rice. So it is not that the rice gave birth to the scorpions. The rice only gave the environment. Or, you know, sometimes children, they think that a dirty bed gives rise to bugs. No, the dirty bed, it only gives an environment where bugs can be, can grow and they can come out. But originally there have been some bed bugs who had laid their eggs over there. So he explains that originally the Lord sets this whole universe and this whole creation into motion. And that's why we find so many movements in this world, like the movements of water. Burijan Prabhu gave a very beautiful explanation about this when he was giving his class on the teachings of Queen Kunti. Such a simple understanding, but so profound and deep. He said, I'm sitting on this Vyasasan, and this Vyasasan is so soft and nice. But this cushion, it's existing here. Now, I'm sitting on the cushion, and I'm feeling comfortable. But the cushion is existing here because there is an asan, which is the basis of it. If there is no asan, then the cushion cannot exist on it. The basis of this asan is this wood. The basis of this wood is the ground. The basis of the ground is the earth. The basis of the earth is the gravitation force. The basis of this gravitation force is Sankarshan, the principle of attraction coming from Balaramji. And the basis of Balaramji is Krishna. So even for me to sit over here on this cushion, ultimately Krishna is the basis. He is the cause because of which I am sitting here. So if water is moving, ultimately the cause of that movement is also Krishna. And that is the vision of a devotee. That Krishna is the cause of all causes. The other day, Gaurang Prabhu was also giving this example, that an ant, the ant feels that for my nourishment, subsistence and existence, this leaf is all in all. This leaf is the cause of my life. The leaf understands that this twig is the cause of my life. All my nourishment, subsistence, source of life is this twig. The twig understands that it's a branch. That's where I'm getting my nourishment from. The branch understands it's actually the stem, the trunk. And the trunk knows ultimately it is the root. So if the ant is asked that, is the root the cause of your nourishment? The ant will say, of course no. For me, the most important thing is this leaf. Similarly, when we tell people that Krishna is the most important factor in your life, one must understand the need for Krishna in our life. So Krishna? Who cares about Krishna? Papi pet ka sawal hai. All actions are taking place because I feel hungry. All my subsistence, my nourishment comes from this leaf. If I have some leaves, my life is fulfilled. So, people feel their need is roti, kapda, makan, food, clothing, shelter. And they don't feel the need for Krishna. The reason is because they are short-sighted. They only think in terms of that leaf, just like the ant thought in terms of the leaf. They think in terms of the immediate needs, the immediate requirements. However, one with a deeper vision understands that that leaf is getting its nourishment from the twig, the stem, the branch and the root. So if one is in connection with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the root of everything, then one can solve the root problems, the root cause of all problems, and can feel happy and satisfied. Srila Prabhupada gives two examples in this regard. Simple. He says, if you want to know everything about America, then you can go to America. Now it's easy to get visa also, easier. However, that's not where the problem ends. You go to all the different departments in America, and within the departments, all the different, so many varieties of people are there. Ask them what is happening in America, and thus you will get an understanding of what is happening in America. He said the easier way is just meet the Prime Minister or the President, and the President will ask you, where are you from? What are your needs? And he will tell you exactly what to do in America, where to go in America to satisfy your needs. You don't need all the other knowledge. Similarly, if we contact the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, then we get all knowledge. Not all the knowledge that exists in this world and in the spiritual world, but all the knowledge that we need for our existence, our nourishment, and our satisfaction in relationship with the Lord. And the second example he gives is of the electricity. Say if the electricity goes away over here, then who knows what is the cause of the problem? Is it the bulb that is the cause of the problem? The bulb is not working. Maybe that's why the light is not coming. Then one may see maybe the wires are not working properly. Maybe the switch has a problem. Maybe the main switch has a problem. Maybe the pole has a problem. Maybe the lines carrying electricity have the problem. Maybe there is a problem at the power generation. Who knows? How much will we keep searching? But if we know the electricity minister, maybe there is a problem there. He decides that today, you know, there's a problem with somebody and he stops the whole thing. So if you are in touch with the original person, then he can immediately by one instruction tell all the people under him to find out what is the cause of the problem and solve it. But on our own, if we keep searching within this world, two problems will happen. One is, neither will we get connection with the original person, nor we may be able to find the cause of all our problems, what to speak of finding solutions. Therefore, the ultimate solution is to contact Krishna, who is transcendental to this material world, and who has activities in the spiritual world independent of the activities within this material world. That is Krishna. Now, when Krishna reveals himself, it is only then and then alone that one can understand him. The example given is that the ocean is very calm normally. However, when the moon rises at the horizon on a specific day, then the ocean becomes wild. Similarly, a devotee, his heart may be very large, and a devotee may be completely satisfied. However, when the moon of Krishna rises, Krishna Chandra, then the devotee becomes ecstatic, and the devotee experiences great joy in the presence of Krishna. So how does a devotee deal with the material world? A devotee remains satisfied and calm. A devotee is not agitated by the waves of this material world, like the ocean is not agitated by unlimited number of rivers coming into the ocean. But when that personality, the person of Krishna rises, then the devotee becomes agitated by ecstatic symptoms, by joy in the presence of Krishna. So when one develops this need for Krishna in one's life, this desperate need for Krishna and calls out for Krishna, then Krishna appears by his own sweet will in the life of a devotee. Therefore, one devotee was explaining that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, how should be our chanting? How we should be chanting? He said, we should be chanting with such a deep, intense prayer, such a begging mood, just like a beggar on the street. When the beggar makes a face, he is so pitiful. Now, that should be our mood and our disposition when we are chanting Hare Krishna. And he said, so much so that say if a rich man is traveling in his car, you should be crying out so much for his mercy that he should stop his car. Not only should he stop his car by seeing you, your pitiful condition, our pitiful condition, he should also open the window and then he should ask us, what is your problem? And then when we explain our problem to him, then he should feel so much pity that he should open the door behind and that rich man will put us in the car, take us to his home, and only then will our problems be completely solved. Similarly, our mind is running in all directions with so many desires to fulfill. And so many people in this world, they also help us to fulfill those desires. But that is like getting a 25 paise or a 50 paise donation given to a beggar. After some time, again he will feel hungry. But when a very rich man, that rich man is compared to the Supreme Lord. When the Supreme Lord comes along, at that time, if we are praying to him, calling out to him, begging him, please, please, stop, stop, I need your help. And if he feels this person really needs my help. And in that mood, not only he stops, he takes us along with him in his own car and takes us back to his house. Only then and then alone will our problems be solved. That is why in one devotee was explaining that this verse, Tattenu Kampam Shushamikshamano Bhunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam. This verse is the guide that Krishna has given us by which we can go back to the spiritual world. Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. That if one just follows these things, Tatte Anukampa, he sees whatever that happens in this world is the Lord's mercy. Shushamikshamano. Mano, experiences, yes, my Lord, it is your mercy. Especially the difficulties that comes in one's life. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. I am the cause of these difficulties. It's not anybody else. It's me only. It's my actions that have created these reactions. Not only that, the Lord is so merciful that he has reduced all these sufferings. When one is in such a mood and plus positively offers obeisances to the Lord, Hridvak Vapurbir, with one's heart, vak words, and Vapu with one's body, then such a person becomes the rightful owner of going back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada translates saying that one should pray to the Lord from the deepest core of one's heart. What is this deepest core of one's heart? This deepest core of one's heart is when one is alone. When we are alone or we think that we are alone, what does our heart think of? What are our desires? What are our aspirations? Those are our prayers. A prayer is a subtle desire. I'm sorry, a desire is a subtle prayer. We are just praying constantly, desiring so many things. So praying from the core of one's heart means when we are alone, at that time, what are we thinking of? Are we thinking of some enjoyments of this world? Are we thinking of the attachments that we have in this world? Or are we thinking of Krishna and praying to Krishna to get rid of all these attachments and begging him to rise in our heart, just like the moon rises by its own sweet will, and then the ocean goes wild in the presence of that moon? So similarly, in that deepest core of our heart when we are alone, what are we thinking of? That determines whether we really want Krishna. So then when we pray to Krishna, then he will rise in our heart. And then all our problems will be solved when he picks us up and takes us home back to Godhead. That Krishna, that person who is transcendental to the material world, is being pointed out in this verse. Aham eva sameva agre. I am. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific spiritual potencies. Consciousness was then unmanifested, just as consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's 9 o'clock, so we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.